Today on the show, I've rediscovered a relic from the past and you're going to love it. The Simpsons is changing in a big way, but it's actually not true or happening at all. Plus, I have a lot of thoughts on the horror movie franchise Saw, and I need to get them off my chest. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the podcast that's currently fighting over 30 defamation lawsuits. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Microscopic Organisms, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, welcome back to the show. Great to be here with you. My name, of course, is Radio Mike, not Microscopic Organisms, but each week on this show, I start with a different name. Generally, it's Mike-themed, so Microscopic Organisms. And thanks to all the people who send these names in, because they're the hardest thing for me to think of every week, and I always leave it to the last minute, and then I'm just sitting there going, Mike Chemical Romance, Mike Fair Lady, Mike Big Fat Greek Wedding, Mike Kampf. Like, and it's just like, what can I do next? So send them in. A lot of people sending in ones I've already done before. Like, hey, Mike, here's a good one. Radioactive Man, because that's RM. The other rule is they can be RM themed for Radio Mike. And I'm like, nah, I've definitely done that one. I've got a list of all the ones I've done somewhere, but yeah. Welcome to 20th Century Boy, a podcast by me, Radio Mike, writer and producer from here in Melbourne, just trying to make his way through life. Sometimes it's easier than other times. And this podcast is the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. It's this 1 hour a week where you can, basically, I was explaining this to someone the other day. Like, my whole podcast is like, basically, like, I don't have many friends, which is you probably could gather that just from listening to this. But if I did have heaps of friends and they all gave a shit about what I cared about, that would be this podcast. So basically, you are my fill-in friend, and we have a weekly 45-minute to one-hour conversation where I just kind of talk at you. You can't reply, but you can reply, and I can read it out on the next episode. Hit me up at radio.mike on Insta. It's Radio Mike on Twitter. Radio Mike pretty much everywhere, or radiomikepod@gmail.com. Or comment in the Spotify comments, because you can do that now. Or on the full YouTube videos, check out the YouTube channel Radio Mike. Big celebration. We hit 6,000 subscribers within a few weeks of getting 5,000, so that's cool. And the YouTube channel is growing a lot, which is awesome. I have a few things that I want to start the show off with, and I think it's going to be a big show, so let's get straight into it. The first thing that I really want to talk about, because, you know, I feel like what I'm about to say has been a subconscious thought in my mind for my entire life, and I've never voiced it. But last night I was just like, I think I just have to get this off my chest, because I've always thought this, and I need people to know about it, because I need to, like, confirm whether my suspicions are true, right? Because here's the thing. I actually think I am itchier than the average person. Now, hear me out. What does he mean by that? This is what I mean. I genuinely believe that I get itchy and have to scratch an itch more than the average person. And it's always been like that for me. Like, right now, itch on my, like, outer thigh, right thigh. So I'm scratching it, right? And I think, here's the thing. Itching, scratching, having an itch, I don't understand what itches are. I don't understand why we itch, why we get itchy. I don't know why I think I get more itchy than the average person. Scratching an itch is a pleasurable experience, right? So here's the thing. Being itchy is not a pleasurable experience, because it's like an irritating thing, but scratching the itch is a satisfying, pleasurable feeling, right? And so, like, I believe I am scratching itches almost constantly during the day. I don't believe that there is a point in time in a day where I'm not itchy somewhere. And I do think that's excessive. Okay. Every part of my body itches. Like, it's just like right now, upper right eyebrow and behind my ear. Got it. Right. Maybe I just do an itch count throughout this whole episode. No, that would be terrible. That would be so bad to listen to. But like, right. Okay. There's another one. Bottom left, outer thigh, right? Scratching it. I feel like I'm always itchy somewhere. That's what I've realized. I itch more than the regular person. Maybe it's because I'm hairy. Like I have Italian heritage. I'm a hairy boy. Maybe it's that. I really don't know. But I just like now my eye's itchy. I've got itches. See, I would like to do a whole podcast where I just talk, and maybe I just do an itch cast where I'm just talking random shit. But every time I have an itch, I have to voice it. I don't want to do it on this episode because head's itchy. Got to scratch my head, right? I think most people are probably, I don't know, send in your IPM, your IPH, your itches per hour, right? I reckon most people are sitting on like one or two itches per hour. Does anyone else think about this? Head's itchy again. Just scratched it. It's itchy, right? One or two itches per hour. I reckon I am genuinely on like 50 to 60 itches per hour. Like nearly an itch per minute, one IPM, 60 IPH. Is there a thing where you can be a more itchy person? Because even when I'm in bed sometimes trying to sleep, I'm just itchy. Now it sounds like I have like lice or something, but my body just gets, like I just always have to scratch parts of my body all the time. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I've always felt it. I am an itchy boy. I'm an itchy, itchy boy. And I got itches to scratch all the time. Cheek just got a bit itchy. I've actually noticed in the last couple of years, maybe this is a growing up thing because it never happened to me when I was a kid. But, left forehead's itchy. See, I'm telling you, like 50 to 60. Anyway, I think that now I get itches on my body where like, It's almost like this never happened as a kid. It's a recent phenomenon. If you're in your like late 20s, early 30s, let me know if this happens for you. Ear is itchy, by the way. My brain like senses an itch, but then like I go to scratch it and it's like a phantom itch. It's like not there. Like say I'll feel an itch in my arm, but then I'm like, I scratch it and it's like, no, that's not the itch. And then it's like somewhere in my leg. What is something wrong with me? These are my thoughts. This is just my rant about itching. I had to talk about it. Nose is itchy, cheeks. I have a problem. I have a scratching. Is there someone who listens to this show who's a doctor, right? Or who is any kind of medical professional, scratch professional who can like give me insight as to why I am always so itchy? I would love to know. Nose itchy again, right? It's scratch central. So I just thought I wanted to start with that. Anyone who has any insight, leave it in the comments, contact the show any way you can, just get in touch with us. The other thing I've been really struggling with over the last few months, and I can't believe I haven't talked about this sooner, but you know, sometimes I'm a big procrastinator. I really struggle to keep attention on one thing. I'm always like opening other windows and stuff and doing stuff when I'm working. Like I get distracted very easily. Very particular trait about me. I remember when I was like moving into this house, me and Claire would be moving stuff up, and then like I'd be like, oh, my Rubik's Cube, and then I'd just start doing my Rubik's Cube and Claire would be like, no. And then I'm like, oh yeah, because I just get distracted from the task at hand. Anyway, one of the things I've been doing to procrastinate lately is playing chess online, chess.com. Because like it seemed like, and the thing about chess is, you know, I know how the game works. Like I know how each of the pieces move. I know everything about how the game works and how, and like you have to get the king in check and then checkmate so the king can't move anywhere, right? I know that, right? So I play chess. I've realized that I suck at chess. I reckon I've been playing on chess.com casually for months against beginner level opponents online, and I cannot win a game. No matter what I do, no matter what I think my strategy is, I'm like, yeah, this should work. I always get beaten, right? Then I started playing against computers and I still get beaten. I don't think my brain... I wonder if it's like my brain can't think that far ahead. So my brain's just like, yeah, I'll do this and then I'll do this. But my brain doesn't even take into account that the person I'm playing against can also make moves to counter what I'm doing. So I'm just like, yep, I'm doing this. And then I just end up in a situation where I lose. I cannot, I don't think I've won a game of chess. I cannot win. I was at my parents' last night. My dad's got this like vintage, like metal chessboard, this beautiful chessboard. It's probably worth a lot of money. And was playing with my dad. Realized I think it runs in the family because both me and my dad, we just couldn't finish the game. Like we had taken a few pieces and then we were basically just left with like a king and a horse or a bishop each. And we were just moving around. And then my dad's like, no one's going to win. This isn't going to end. So we just stopped playing. But that's what often happens. Like I think in my mind, the goal of chess, like my brain thinks that in chess, you're just supposed to get as many of their pieces as possible. Right? So I'm just going for like, oh, I'll get this pawn. Oh, I'll get this bishop. Oh, great. I'll take this. I'm not actually doing any strategy to try and corner the king. I'm just going, which piece can I take this turn, right? And then often in my games that I play, they either time out because on chess.com there's a 10-minute limit or it just ends up with everyone just has one king and we're just moving in one space at a time and then it's a stalemate and they're like, okay, end of the game. No one wins. I can't win chess. I suck at it. I want to actually put it out to you guys. Is there anyone out there who thinks this is a big thing? Is there anyone out there who thinks they can lose to me in chess? Because I think I'm that bad that even if you were trying to lose, I would still lose. That's how bad I am at chess. That's how much I don't understand how to win the game. Because no part of my brain goes, yep, you can get checkmate in two turns if you do this and this. No part of my brain does that. I just cannot play it. So please reach out. One, if you want to give me chess tips, I'm open. I want to do chess. I want to improve. But two, if you think you're worse than me, like, first of all, I'd love to play people at chess who listen to this show. So if you just want to play a game. But if you think you can lose to me with me trying to win and you trying to lose, I don't think you can. That's my challenge. I'm actually so bad at chess and it was getting me really down. And often when I'm really down, I try to put my thoughts into song. So I actually prepared a little song that kind of sums up my experience playing chess over the last few months and not winning a single game against a human or a computer. And I'd like you to hear it. I suck at chess. Yeah, I'm really no good. I use my queen, but I just can't seem to checkmate with her. I suck at chess. Whether I'm white or I'm black. And it's gotten to a point where I think I just don't have the knack. Have you ever played chess? I have. It felt great. It felt so good when I moved my pawn two spaces. Or my bishop diagonally. Or my horse in an L shape spectacularly. And I'm moving around this board with no real strategy, but I know how to play. That's the real tragedy. I can even do that thing where you swap your rook and your king, but I get beaten every time and it's starting to sting. Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Guess what I just did? Played chess. Lost my queen within three turns and then got checked. Is there no way to win this game here? What's the aim? I'm feeling shame. I'm feeling pain. And now I must start to proclaim. I suck at chess. Yeah, I'm really no good. I got so itchy during that song. I was almost going to interrupt. But seriously, I suck at chess, guys. I had a few other things today. And again, it might be a bigger show. Of course, there are 26 days until the biggest day of the calendar, which is my birthday, December 12th, 29 this year. I still get people messaging me happy 25th birthday. And that's because when I was turning 25, I was doing this podcast, which really shows how much time has passed. I was doing this podcast, I turned 25, and I said on the podcast, whenever you're listening to this, whether it's 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, just send me a message saying happy 25th birthday and I will live as 25 forever. I genuinely can't believe now I'm turning 29. That's crazy. 26 days to my birthday at the time that this is out. And as long-term listeners of this show will know, I like to get a sponsor for my birthday. I love my birthday being sponsored. Just a fun thing that I do. For my 27th birthday, Grilled was my sponsor. For my 28th birthday, Typo was my sponsor. I reached out to Arnott's Shapes for my birthday this year. I did a big campaign, a little appeal to them to sponsor my birthday, and was starting to get worried. I was like, hey, maybe this year there ain't going to be no sponsor. There's no sponsor for Shapes. There's no sponsor for Mikey's 29th. Maybe that's it. Maybe this is all – maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe my birthday goes unsponsored this year. But I've gathered a bit of hope because I checked my Instagram DMs today and I got a message from the official Arnott's Shapes Instagram page. They asked me for a postage address. Now, I don't know about you guys, but in my opinion, you only really get asked for a postal address if someone's going to post something to you. And I seriously doubt Shapes is going to post me a letter saying we're not going to sponsor your birthday, because that would be heart-wrenching and just plain mean. So guys, we could be charging ahead with Shapes as my birthday sponsor this year, and I just wanted to give you guys the update. Still no word yet on Blink-182 letting me interview them, but there's still a few months away from that. We were really running out of time for my birthday sponsor. So there might be a Shapes giveaway on the show later in the year. Get excited for that. I wanted to talk about something that feels a bit like old school, but hear me out. Does anyone remember Guitar Hero? If you were a teenager or a kid in like the mid-2000s to the early 2010s, you almost certainly had Guitar Hero or Rock Band on your console, PlayStation, Wii, Xbox, whatever it was. You almost certainly had it. I was thinking about Guitar Hero the other week. I can't remember why it came into my mind, but I was like obsessed with Guitar Hero for a long time. I was very, very obsessed. If you're not familiar, Guitar Hero and Rock Band, Guitar Hero was like a rhythm game franchise. Rhythm games being like music games. And they used the sort of plastic peripheral guitars that you have to like strum the guitar and press the notes as they appear on screen to like popular songs. And it probably first came out in maybe 2006, 2007, everyone had it. Every single person had these plastic guitars in their house. And then come Guitar Hero 4, you know, four iterations in, you had a full band. You started having to pay like $250 for like two plastic guitars, a plastic drum kit, a plastic microphone, and like all this other shit that you just plug into your PlayStation, and your house, your living room, your parents would complain because your living room was full of plastic musical instruments, and you'd be spending all your time playing expert mode on Guitar Hero, Through the Fire and the Flames by Dragon Force and all the other songs, right? You'd be playing all your time, then you just leave it there, leave the drum kit there. No one wanted the drums. I remember like you used to go to people's houses and they'd have Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Rock Band, basically, Guitar Hero was developed by a company called Harmonix. And then I think the brand Guitar Hero, this is boring stuff, but the brand got bought by Activision. So Harmonix then wasn't making Guitar Hero anymore. So then they just started making a different game called Rock Band, which was the exact same thing, just with different songs, right? And I just think like, yeah, there was a period of time where just everyone had these instruments and everyone just wanted to do guitar. No one wanted to play drums because it was stupid, and no one wanted to sing because it was embarrassing. And so everyone just played Guitar Hero. It was massive. And the thing with Guitar Hero is it just became so oversaturated in the market. There was like every year, it was like Guitar Hero 1, Guitar Hero 2, Guitar Hero 3, Guitar Hero World Tour, Guitar Hero 5. Then they had Rock Band, Rock Band 2, Rock Band 3, Lego Rock Band. Then they had Band Hero. Then they did one called DJ Hero, where you actually got like a plastic DJ turntable thing and you had to mix. So it was so weird. Then they had like band specific ones. They had Guitar Hero Metallica, Guitar Hero like Aerosmith, Rock Band, The Beatles, Rock Band, Green Day. I had all of these with different songs and everything like that. of like probably the most famous one is Through the Fire and the Flames by Dragon Force, which was like the hardest song, I think, on Guitar Hero 3. Everyone who knows that song just had a heart attack imagining that. So, so crazy that like these games, there was, I can't even stress enough. I actually want to get a list of all of those games. What do we got? List of rhythm games, right? Because I want to just show you how like how excessive the amount of games in these franchises were. So let's just go. There was DJ Hero, DJ Hero 2, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero 5, Guitar Hero Encore, Rock the 80s, Guitar Hero 2, Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock, Guitar Hero On Tour, Guitar Hero On Tour Decades, Guitar Hero On Tour Modern Hits, Guitar Hero Smash Hits, Guitar Hero World Tour, Guitar Hero Aerosmith, Guitar Hero Metallica, Guitar Hero Van Halen, Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock. We then go down to all of the entries in the Rock Band. We've got Rock Band, Rock Band 2, Rock Band 3, Rock... Oh, that might, then the Beatles, yeah. And the Lego Rock Band. Anyway, you get it. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. And so, you know, and I know at my mum and dad's house right now, there's like all this shit in the garage just sitting there. These plastic instruments and these little dongles you'd plug in to like make them work wirelessly. And you'd just be, you'd think all of us who spent hours and hours of our time as kids playing Guitar Hero when we could have just been actually learning how to play the guitar, it seems so counterintuitive because you would go to like friends' houses, parties, people would just be playing Guitar Hero together. I was like, yeah, this is awesome, man. No one was like, hey, why don't we spend this time and actually learn how to play guitars and start a real band instead of sitting here playing these plastic musical instruments, which is so lame. So anyway, because of this oversaturation, it essentially the entire market just exploded. It was like a fad. It went for like 5 to 6 years and then it just imploded in itself. Suddenly like all the sales declined. No one wanted to buy these games. Everyone was sick of it. It was a real moment in gaming and pop culture, right? Guitar Hero, Rock Band, all of it. And so I can't remember why. Oh, and also little side note, Guitar Hero is actually the reason that this podcast is called 20th Century Boy, because the first time I ever heard the song 20th Century Boy by T-Rex, which is what this podcast's name is a homage to, was in Guitar Hero 5. And some of you may recognize that's the old theme music that we used to use for the show. So yeah, that was, I probably first heard the song 20th Century Boy by T-Rex playing Guitar Hero 5 when I was probably 16, 15. And I remember being like, oh, this is a really cool song. And it's like 20th Century Boy, sick, right? So really, really owe Guitar Hero in a way to that. It was a cool way to discover new music kind of before Spotify and Apple Music were big. Like you'd actually, like Guitar Hero would expose you to a bunch of songs you'd never heard before and a bunch of artists and stuff you'd never heard before. And so the other day I was just like, I wonder, like obviously Guitar Hero doesn't exist. Like no one, there's no new games. There hasn't been for a long time. But I feel like what I've learned is that if there's something that you think of, someone on the internet has done it. And I was just like, I am so sure someone on the internet has just made like their own kind of Guitar Hero clone, I guess you could say. And it's just free to play. You download it and you play it and you can just put whatever song, and people have like made the patterns, the note patterns for every song, and you can just play it now like for free basically. Sure enough, I typed in Guitar Hero clone and I found this game called Clone Hero, which is literally exactly what I described. You just download whatever songs you want to play and then you just do it, and you can use the guitars, but I've just been using my computer keyboard just because I'm just like casually playing it. And I got like, you can download like all of like the Green Day songs, all of the Beatles songs, like any song you want, like a bunch of the new Blink-182 songs. People are just making them. And you're just like, oh, I'm going to play this. And then you just play it. It's so cool. And so this week, you know, probably because I was losing all that chess, this week I've just been playing heaps of Clone Hero. I think on Friday night or maybe Saturday night, I just stayed up to like 1 a.m. playing Clone Hero, Guitar Hero, without a guitar, just on my keyboard with my headphones in. Like I'm so weird. Everyone else is going out, having like the time of their lives, probably, like going out drinking, like meeting people, having fun, socializing on their Saturday nights, their day night off work. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play Guitar Hero, Clone Hero on my computer and play the entire album Green Day American Idiot on Clone Hero on my computer. It's very cool though. I recommend you check it out because I swear to God, those games were so culturally relevant and they were so, I don't know, something about them. Like I kind of want to dig them up and play with the actual guitars, but it'd be interesting to see if those games ever come back because you see them a lot in arcades, the guitars and the turntables and the drums and stuff. But like, particularly in Japan, there was a lot of that kind of stuff. But yeah, overall, I remember thinking at the time when I used to see all these Guitar Hero games, I'm like, no one can keep up with this. There's way too many games that they're biting off more than they can chew. And I don't think this is going to last. And I was right. Your boy was right. I guess, you know, whatever. Whatever, all my predictions come true. Sometimes, no, I've made a lot of incorrect predictions over the years. But yeah, I had a couple. I have a God. There's a lot of stuff I want to get to. I watched Saw X over the weekend. If you're squeamish, you won't like Saw. But I do have a lot of questions about the franchise. If you're not familiar with it, it actually came out of Australia, out of RMIT. James Wan, who was a film student, I think, at RMIT, who created Saw. I'm pretty sure he created, what's that movie called? I haven't seen it. It's not Inception. That's obviously not it, but it has a similar, I don't know, whatever. And he also did, I think he directed Aquaman, but he's also, oh, it's Insidious. That's what I was thinking of, Insidious. Insidious, he did Aquaman, but he's like sort of started a bunch of like sort of new horror concepts after he got really famous and successful with Saw. So like looking at it, yeah, he, you know, he produces a lot of horror. He did the Conjuring series, like all after Saw. It all started at RMIT with Saw, and he's really good at horror. Now, say what you want about Saw as a, you know, concept, because I'm sure you all know what it's about. Like, but I actually think particularly the first Saw movie is one of the best horror movies ever. Just a great movie. It's very tense. And of course, like they involve a lot of gore, which can be very hard to watch sometimes. But I really think that first Saw movie is an essential watch for anyone who loves movies because it is just really good. And again, if you're not super familiar, Saw, you probably know the puppet, the jigsaw puppet, Billy the Puppet, who is like kind of like the villain, but the puppet is made by the real villain, who is this guy called John Kramer, right? His name is Kramer, like in Seinfeld. And Tobin Bell has played John Kramer in every Saw movie. Fantastic performances. And there's, you know, I've talked about horror movies on this podcast before, where like basically, you know, Friday the 13th, they make it, it's a big success. They copy and paste it and make another one every year. It makes slightly less money until they stop, right? They've done that with so many horror franchises. Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Paranormal Activity, Poltergeist, and yeah, Saw is another one of those. It's very common because I think horror movies often are a bit cheaper to film and to develop. So, you know, it's easier to make a lot of money, but just there's obviously a diminishing return on them. So Saw, there's Saw 2, Saw 3, then they do the whole thing where they're like, Saw 4, the final chapter, and then they're like, Saw 5, new blood or whatever they call it, right? So John Kramer is this cancer. It's the philosophy of it I find really interesting. He's a terminal cancer patient who, you know, attempts suicide, loses his child, like a lot of shit things happen to him, so he attempts suicide, survives, then has this new lease on life where he's like, oh, I didn't value my life. Now I see the true value of my life now that I have cancer and that I've survived this attempt on my own life. And then he's basically, his thing is he puts people in these traps that it's like, hey, you have 1 minute, either you cut off your leg or this thing you're wearing on your head crushes your skull and you die. Which do you value more, your life or your leg? And it's like this dilemma where you force people to do stuff they don't want to do just to stay alive. And his thing, now obviously it's wrong, but his thing is like, I'm often, they're morally corrupt people. Throughout the series, it's like people who are doing like insurance fraud or criminals or people who are scamming people. He kidnaps them, puts them in these traps and makes them consider those decisions. And his thing is like, I'm helping them see the value of life and doing the right thing and everything. But he's obviously doing the worst thing, which is murder. But there is this like complexity because all of his victims are bad people. And generally for the first sort of three movies and then some of the later ones, like that's sort of the case. Like all of his victims are bad people. Some of the later ones that they sort of, because the idea is he always says like, I don't kill people. I put people in situations where they decide what they want to do and what they value. He doesn't ever like pull the trigger or pull something on the trap to make it activate. He's just like, here's the trap. It's this complex trap. It's wired to something. You know, if you don't cut your eye out to get the key out that I put behind your eye, then you're going to get electrocuted. Or like I think in Saw 3, there's a guy who's chained down to the floor and he's going to drown in pig blood. And it's like, I don't even know what he has to do. It's all about morality and what's right and what's wrong. And like, and they call him the Jigsaw Killer. Is he, you know, doing something right? Because all of these people are bad people. Anyway, it's a very interesting series. I've watched all of them now, and Saw 10 was really good. And the other thing about Saw is every single one ends with some kind of twist or blindside. And they're always like really surprising, particularly the first one. Like the first one is one of the greatest twists in cinema history, which I won't say on this because I want people to go and watch it. But every single movie, there's something that gets you on at the end where you're like, oh, wow, I never would have seen that coming. And often it's that, you know, basically John Kramer is this mastermind killer, or not killer, he's this mastermind orchestrator, and he's always one step ahead. And often at the end of the movie, I was talking the other week about that song from Talk To Me, but I said it was like an iconic horror theme. I don't think there is any more iconic horror theme than this song from Saw that plays basically, that it's like a build up and it plays at the end of every movie, essentially, when the final twist is revealed. I love those moments. And you're always like, oh my God, no way. It really takes you by surprise. And Saw 10 was great. You know, they've started like spacing them out and actually making them like good films now instead of just like churning them out over and over, because they did get worse and worse over time. But I do have a soft spot for that franchise. But here's the real thing, the real question I have about Saw. And if you follow me on Twitter, you might have already seen that I tweeted about this. Here's what I think every time I watch a Saw movie is, how does John Kramer, the Jigsaw Killer, have so much time, money, and energy to be building these complex mechanical engineered traps that are perfectly orchestrated in big like warehouses with multiple rooms? How is he doing this? At what point is he sitting down and planning it and then building all these traps? Because it feels like he's churning out a lot of traps to kill people. A lot of traps. And he's planned it all meticulously and nothing goes wrong. And these traps involve, like, electricity. They involve, like, mechanical moving parts and genuine, like, engineering, wiring, you know, like, all of this stuff that has to go right. And he somehow just planned them. I know it's just a movie. Someone's going to be like, dude, it's just a movie. I know that. Just, you know, entertain me for a bit, right? I'm entertaining you. It is absolutely absurd that this guy who has terminal cancer, who has not long to live, is spending all his time designing and engineering these traps that are going to kill people. Where does he have the time? And it must be expensive. And what does he look like at, like, the hardware store where he's like, yeah, I'm going to buy these gears, like these nails, a helmet, and various hammers and a surgical knife, also some handcuffs and duct tape. Oh yeah, cool. That'd be $5.99. No worries. Like, it just doesn't add up. This guy, it cannot. I mean, I guess that's the beauty of it, is that it's too unrealistic to ever occur in the real world. No one person could orchestrate what the Jigsaw Killer is orchestrating on a real world level. And that actually brings some comfort to me. But I highly recommend you watch, Thor, because yeah, I genuinely really, I really enjoy that series, and there's so many twists and turns, but yeah, I don't know how John Kramer manages to do all of that. But Saw 10, yeah, really, just a really good movie that again challenges that morality thing and the blackness and whiteness and grayness of ethics and morals and just like what sort of evil and desperation can do and what, yeah, go and watch it. I really, really enjoyed it. And go and watch the first Saw as well. Another thing that I noticed in the news this week that really cracked me up is the Simpsons has been making a bunch of headlines. The Simpsons has been in the news a fair bit, actually. Both times I've seen it, and I'm focusing on one, but both times I've seen the Simpsons in the news this past week have been like incorrectly reported stories. And I've talked a lot about, you know, my thoughts on modern Simpsons and everything. And I still watch some of the episodes just because I'm like, oh yeah, I'll watch this. Like, I have like my Plex server that auto downloads everything. So sometimes it's like, yeah, there's a new Simpsons app. I'm like, great, I'll pop that on. So the first thing I saw, because the thing I always look forward to every year with The Simpsons is the new Treehouse of Horror episodes. I don't have to explain what that is. If you don't know, you're too young. I don't know. But there, I watched the most recent Treehouse of Horror, and there is a there's one of the segments is shows the episode where the Simpsons are on the houseboat and Sideshow Bob has Bart tied up, and it's like an alternate ending where Sideshow Bob kills Bart, which drives Lisa mad, and the segment ends with Lisa killing Sideshow Bob. And I saw all these news outlets being like, oh, The Simpsons has killed off popular character Sideshow Bob. Who knows if it seems to be permanent. Who knows if he's ever coming back? And they were like leading with this headline, like Simpsons kills off major character. I was just like, no, they didn't. It's a Treehouse of Horror. Do you not know how Treehouse of Horror works in The Simpsons? They're non-canon. Bart died at the start of that segment as well. They're not killing Bart off. It was just a stupid clickbaity article that was getting people to click. Basically, like in the Treehouse of Horror episodes, characters die all the time. That's the point. They're horror movie spin-off. Like, sorry, not spin-offs. They're horror movie parodies. And then the people are like, wow, like, I just find it hilarious that they're like, wow, The Simpsons have killed off Sideshow Bob, but not, they haven't killed off Bart, who clearly was murdered at the start. Anyway, it was ridiculous. But then I saw this other one that The Simpsons animators or The Simpsons staff actually clapped back on, because a bunch of articles sort of came out based on a recent episode of The Simpsons where articles have claimed that Homer Simpson will no longer strangle Bart Simpson in The Simpsons because of changing attitudes to that. And of course, Homer strangling Bart, iconic and, might I add, harmless cartoony violence that no one actually looks at and goes, I should do that to my kids, but whatever. In a recent episode of The Simpsons, this dialogue is exchanged between Homer and another character.
Whoa, that's quite a grip.
See, Marge? Strangling the boy has paid off. Just kidding, I don't do that anymore. Times have changed.
Fair enough, bit of a joke, and like, yeah, changing attitudes towards that kind of thing. Because you're right, you probably wouldn't do that now if you were starting a show now, but I would say that it's an iconic trait of The Simpsons, and growing up, I never even thought much of it. Like, it seems very harmless to me. All these online clickbaity websites, all these clickbait websites start posting, Homer will no longer strangle Bart in The Simpsons due to changing, like, and being like, woke, cancel, is this woke, is this cancel culture, blah, 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 blah. So ridiculous. And then the actual Simpsons team, the actual Simpsons Twitter account then posts a hand-drawn image of Homer strangling Bart saying, why are you little clickbaiting? And then The Simpsons Twitter says, Homer Simpson was unavailable for comment as he was busy strangling Bart. And then James L. Brooks, one of the creators of The Simpsons, says, nothing's getting tamed. Bart will continue to be loved by his father in this specific way, saying that Homer will continue to strangle Bart. And I think, like, I think it would be, like, I do think we are, as a society, becoming way more sensitive to stuff that I don't think really matters that much. And, like, you might disagree with me, but I really don't think that people are watching Homer strangle Bart in the most cartoony way possible. And like, people are going, well, I'm going to do that to my kids. Like, I really don't think that. I genuinely don't. I think everyone's like, oh, that's just such a wacky over-exaggeration that has always prevailed and persisted in this TV series that has been going since the late 80s. And I just think, one, I think it's just so funny how clickbaity news is now. I think we do forget how so many people just see headlines. They're just on news.com.au or Daily Mail. They see a headline. They don't even click the article, right? They see some headline and then they go, oh, like, I heard this. Like, I heard blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, you saw a headline on a clickbait news website that wants to get you to click. And now, and this is how, like, rumors spread, how misinformation spreads, how false information spreads. Like, this is how it happens. Because we're now nobody reads actual journalism. No one actually goes and, like, reads proper researched articles. They just read headlines from anywhere. And they're like, oh, apparently this. It's like, what, like, it really irritates me about the society we're in, that clickbait is so prevalent and also, like, necessary because of our societal structure of capitalism. Clickbait equals clicks, which equals ads, which equals money. And then you get so much misinformation and everyone is misinformed and no one knows what's actually happening. Like, I think we actually do need to, like, make sure, like, we fund and support, like, proper journalism that actually, like, researches and looks into stuff and has, like, verified sources, instead of, like, this bullshit that, like, admittedly we're all addicted to, like Daily Mail and whatever, where it's just trash, it's just fake, like, it's all nothing designed to, like, cloudy everything. So everyone's like, I have no idea what's going on, I just saw a headline and now I'm gonna say it in a conversation because I saw it. I don't actually know anything, but I saw someone else write this, so now I'm going to say it because I'm insecure and I don't have any of my own opinions, so I just say stuff that I saw online. I hate it. And this is, like, a small example of that with the Simpsons thing, where people are like, oh, what's, like, a clickbaity article we can make from this Treehouse of Horror thing? Oh, Simpsons kills off major characters. Then someone goes to work and goes, oh, apparently they did an episode where they killed Sideshow Bob off and he's not in anymore. It's like, no, that's not true. Anyway, it frustrates me to hell and back, but this is just the world we're living in these days, like, this world of, like, no one knowing what the hell is going on at any point, and it's no good. Final thing for this week. Maybe, yeah, this will probably have to do. And it's actually related to everybody's favorite holiday.
We wish you a merry Gnomus. We wish you a merry Gnomus. We wish you a merry Gnomus. It's the middle of the year.
One of the best openers this show has ever had. I actually, side note, guys, I actually had this idea where I was going to, I was going to record an hour of Gnomus carols and put it on this feed. And the catch is that it would just be an hour of silence because there is no, Gnomus is the period in November where we don't think about Christmas because it's not December yet. So it's going to be like, hey guys, I've recorded an hour of Gnomus carols just to, you know, play around the house and get into the Gnomus spirit this November. And then you'd turn it on, it would be all silence. But then I was like, well, then people might turn it on expecting to hear like parodies of Christmas songs. And then they might get confused and then everyone will message me being like, hey, I think it's just silence. And I'd be like, nah, that's the joke. It would just be too hard. I thought it would have been funny, but it would just, I think it would just confuse people. But anyway, it's Gnomus. Happy Gnomus to you. I hope you are celebrating Gnomus in the best way possible, which is not doing anything different to your day-to-day life. I have asked people to name and shame any business, person, individual, company, whatever, who is not adhering to the Gnomus tradition of not celebrating Christmas to December. And I feel like I would be dishonest if I didn't do this. I need to self-nominate. And I think the listeners need to write in about what my punishment for this has been, because I have watched, the other night I watched a Christmas movie, and also I was at my parents' place last night and my mum asked me if I have a Christmas tree and I said no, and she said, do you want one? I've got a spare. And I said yes, and I now have a Christmas tree in my house, not set up, but in my house I have a Christmas tree. And I quickly realize that I have breached Gnomus. Just, I can't believe, I think the spiral for this was, it was Halloween. And so I watched The Nightmare Before Christmas, the classic Jack Skellington, Jack Skellington and This Is Halloween, you know it. I watched that, which I think is a Halloween film, but of course, the story of The Nightmare Before Christmas is Jack Skellington, the pumpkin king of Halloween Town, is tired of Halloween, stumbles his way into Christmas Town, and decides to bring Christmas to Halloween Town. So I guess I watched it for Halloween, but I guess it's debatable whether it's a Christmas movie or not. And then the next week, I don't know what came over me, but we watched a movie called A Boy Called Christmas, which is, I do not deny, is a Christmas movie, and I watched it. Am I getting into the spirit? Have I changed? Have things changed for me? Because boy, oh boy, am I starting to feel like the Christmas bug is getting me, and I don't want this. So someone please tell me what I need to do to repent for my Gnomus sins. Please message into the show. Let me know, how do I make up for this blasphemy? Because I'm worried I might do it again. I'm genuinely worried it's going to get to Friday night. You know, I'm going to pop the TV on. There's going to be a Christmas movie playing and I'm going to watch it. Santa Claus might be on, you know, something like that. I'm worried I'm going to get in the car. Not that I have one at the moment. I'm going to get in the car. Smooth FM's going to be playing We Wish You a Merry Christmas, or that the John Lennon one, or Paul McCartney had a Christmas. Oh, see, I'm getting into it. I'm delving into it. I'm worried Smooth FM's going to be playing that Paul McCartney Christmas song and I'm going to start singing along, and I can't have that. I need you guys to hold me accountable. Okay? I'm really sorry. Psst, the plug. Hey guys, come to the live show December 15th. It's about 30 days away. I would love for you to get a ticket. There is a if you message me privately, I'll give you a discount. Why not? Because you listen to this show. I'll give you a TCB discount. Please come along. 15th of December, Cooper's Inn, Melbourne, 7 p.m. Harry Potter and the Boys live show with me and Sammy Garlep and a special guest. Cannot wait to do it. Cannot wait to see you there. Really hope to see you there. And of course, Harry Potter and the Boys runs every week on a Tuesday. So at the moment, you're getting a fair bit of content because we also have the World Tour bonus podcast running every Monday. This week, Claire and I talked about our terrible, terrible journey to Paris, which was a terrible time overall. Some really funny stories about lining up for 45 minutes to get into the Louvre on an extremely rainy day and then not actually getting in, being really sick, our cab driver screaming, our hotel room flooding. If you want to hear all that, it's all on the World Tour. There's now 4 World Tour episodes, I think. So they are going really well and I'd love for you to hear them. And next week, so Monday just coming, there will be a Disneyland edition of the World Tour, all about Disney Resort in Paris, which was so much fun. And I think I want to do a bigger video on it as well. But yeah, if you're into Disneyland, we'll be talking all the rides, the hotel, all the attractions and everything. So please have a listen to that when it's out. Over on Patreon, patreon.com/RadioMike, 60 Patreons at the moment. Thank you so much, guys. Jump on for $4.50 a month, which is about a dollar-ish a week. You get the Pat and Mike show, which returns this week. Me and Pat are back. We have some deeper conversations. We have some funny conversations. Please jump on. A lot of bonus content, and that's going to be coming on the Spotify as well soon, so you can sign up as a Spotify member. I think that's more or less it. I've been doing a bunch of, I did a bunch of like guest content and stuff. So hopefully people who that is in the hands of are going to put it out soon. I did a bunch of episodes of The Share House with Mikey D and Joel Harris. I did a Smash Bros collaboration with listener of the show. I'll give him a shout out. Radio Patreon Cold Koala. Long-term fan of the show, asked me to do a Smash Bros video for his channel, and it was really fun. I hope that comes out soon. I did an episode of Content and Capable, which I've done before, all coming out soon, and I'll let you know when they're out. But for now, I think that's it. Really enjoyed this ep. Hope you did too. My name's been Radio Mike. I will see you next week. This has been The Inside of My Mind. Catch you later. I'm sorry.